CanOM Update News. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. Federal regulators still don't have enough detail on Shell Oil's latest Arctic drilling plans to judge whether the company is ready to proceed this summer. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management went back to Shell on Tuesday seeking more information about the company's operating and exploration plans for the Chukchi Sea. This is the second time the BOEM has come back with questions since Shell's initial filing this fall. A lot of BOEM's requests have to do with air emissions data for Shell's fleet. The agency is taking over responsibility for writing Arctic air emissions permits from the Environmental Protection Agency starting this year. BOEM also wants to know what Shell has done to tighten up its management structure in the last 2 years. They're looking for proof that, quote, oversight deficiencies that allow for the physical deficiencies to remain undetected or unresolved during the course of operations have been fixed, end quote. To that end, BOEM is asking to see the results of an external audit that Shell's management structure. The Department of Interior ordered the audit last year, and they won't allow Shell to go back to the Arctic until it's done. Yesterday, the United States Coast Guard's Admiral Tom Ostebo updated NOAA on the Coast Guard's 2014 Arctic strategy. Ostebo's prime concern is that vessel traffic is increasing through the Bering Strait, and no regulations exist to monitor that movement. However, the Coast Guard is working to change that lack of oversight. No country owns the Bering Strait waters, and no international law manages vehicle movement through the passage. As ice melts and traffic increases, this absence of regulation creates hazardous conditions for vessels, Admiral Ostebo.
There's no traffic light. There's no traffic lane. There's no northbound over this side, southbound over this side, reporting in requirements at all for going through the Bering Strait.
With no reporting requirements or standard routing, the risk for accidents increases. Last year, Ostebo says the Bering Strait saw the largest number of ship and cargo traffic in the Strait's history, and the Coast Guard expects an even higher rate this year. In fact, international traffic is projected to reach such a height that Ostebo compares the Bering Strait to the Panama Canal in global access.
To a major international strait that's emerging, I would submit the biggest one since the Panama Canal, it's happening right in front of us.
To implement preventative measures, the Coast Guard and its Russian counterpart are drafting voluntary regulations for passage through the Bering Strait. Ostebo says the voluntary agreement would become standard practice through insurers incorporating the measure as terms and conditions in their policies.
Clearly, if you're in the shipping business and you're not following a best practice standard, although it's voluntary and you have a problem, culpability follows shortly behind that from a legal perspective.
The voluntary system would serve as a placeholder until the International Maritime Organization passed laws to govern the strait, a process expected to take many years. Ostebo says the United States is sponsoring the law and is seeking support from Russia to help move the ruling forward. More than 30 tribal organizations have come out in opposition to a permitting bill championed by Governor Sean Parnell. The resolutions sent to the governor's office on Thursday morning lay out a number of concerns with the bill. Rob Sanderson Jr. represents the Central Council Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, and he believes House Bill 77 would put limits on tribal sovereignty and infringe on the subsistence rights of Alaska Natives.
The bill undercuts our right to sustain our traditional and customary use, not only of the water, but also the land and our ability to harvest.
HB 77 was pitched last year as a way to streamline the permitting process and encourage development in the state. The bill stalled after a number of constituencies, including Alaska Native groups, expressed reservations. They argued it would give the Natural Resources Commissioner blanket authority to issue general permits and limit opportunities for public involvement. The bill would also make it so that individuals or native groups would no longer be able to apply for water reservations, which are usually used to protect fish habitat. Officials with the Department of Natural Resources have shown a willingness to make changes of some of the more controversial measures in the bill, but Dorothy Larson with the Chiriyung Tribal Council in Dillingham thinks that might not be enough to satisfy native groups.
I believe that this bill is so flawed that it would be very dangerous for us to try to fix it. I think we need to scrap it.
Legislators will decide what to do with it when they head back to Juneau next week. And the 2014 Kuskokwim 300 Sled Dog Race is slated to begin tonight at 6:30 in Bethel. Lorelei Kinnean reports.
This year marks the 35th consecutive running of the Kuskokwim 300 Sled Dog Race, a community event pulled off almost completely by local volunteers. The race was first organized by Myron Anksman, a local musher. Bev Hoffman, another local musher, explains that in 1979, Engsman ran the Iditarod.
Back dog mushing here. We can do this. And he pulled us all together that first year. There was a $10,000 purse, one race, people showed up. Joe Rennington was all about it, you know. And so to have been there in the beginning and to be here today, watching it all unfold again is just good, great.
And talk a little bit, you know, for the sake of writing my story. You've been involved from the beginning. Hoffman herself has been involved in the race from the beginning. Over the years, she's worked as the race manager, served on the board of directors, and finished the race herself in 1984. She says there's not a greater event than the Cusco 300 in the Kuskokwim region. This year, the race attracted 24 mushers from throughout the state. One musher comes from Canada and another from Norway. The race has prestige. With just one part-time employee, the race manager, the race is possible only through community members throughout the trail that contribute in various and countless ways.
To work, to make sure everything goes smoothly. We've had some very lean years, we've had some very tough years that we've endured. But to see, for example, Mike Williams Jr. and Pete Kaiser, whose fathers raced this, and they're contenders now. All these years later, they're contenders now. And it would have never happened if they didn't get to experience the big-time mushers coming to Bethel and allowing us to look at their strategies and talk to them and get pups from them. And it's just wonderful to see, because dog mushing was dying out.
For the 35th running of the Cusco 300, there are seven teams entered that come directly from the Kuskokwim region. Currently in Bethel, there are 10 kennels and more throughout the communities on the Kuskokwim River. And much of it is attributed to the fact that one of the most premier races happens through these very communities. Both Richie Deal from Aniak and Pete Kaiser from Bethel say they got into driving dogs because of the lure of the K300.
Growing up around the Cusco, it was always the race that I always wanted to do. I followed Iditarod and everything as a younger kid, but the Cusco was the race I always wanted to race, and it's the race that I always, you know, I want to win someday. And
yeah, this race is a big deal, especially to people who have grown up here and watched and been involved, like myself. And I dreamt of running and now winning the Cusco long before I ever had any idea of even running the Iditarod or that. So it's pretty important to me. It's when I first started running, or before I first started running the race, and hearing people come out and say, "Oh, this is the best race, this is the best race," and I thought they were just being nice. And then when I started racing around the state, I realized, wow, we do have the best race going. And so it's pretty neat to be involved in that history.
And the race's history is being celebrated today. At the Ubiet Bijiljereit Museum, there's a temporary exhibit showcasing the history of the Kuskokwim 300. Bev Hoffman spent time there yesterday with her family, reminiscing of the days when she and her husband, John McDonald, used to run the 300-mile sled dog race. The 35th running of the Kuskokwim 300 Sled Dog Race is this weekend. Tune in for updates on KNOM in the 9, 12, and 5 o'clock hours with names like Jeff King, Ronan Martin Boozer, Mike Williams Jr., Tony Browning, Pete Kaiser, Jake Berkowitz, Paul Gebhart, John Baker, and Your Leafs at Tholsom. It's nearly impossible to make a list of top 5 teams. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Lorelei Kinneen.
And in New York, the price of gold is up $9.80 to $1,252.50 an ounce. Silver's up 23 cents to $20.33 an ounce. And zinc has been all over the place, but stuck at 94 cents a pound at last check. Alaska Airlines Flight 152 is currently scheduled to arrive on time in Nome at 11:40 a.m. and depart at 12:35 p.m. Unofficially, it's 11 degrees right now outside the KNOM studios, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock.